This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:08. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. So it's been a tumultuous time in the world over the last 2.5 years. And between the pandemic and wars, our own economic roller coaster, we were wondering how have investment trends shifted?
So to be fair, the roots of our story actually lie in quite a specific survey. According to The Star, the risk appetite for alternative investments is expected to improve over the next 2 to 3 years. Or rather, this was something that was reported in The Star, but it came from a survey done by Knight Frank Malaysia's Commercial Real Estate Investment Sentiment. So that's why I say it's quite specific, because it was focused on alternative investments in the real estate sector, right? In terms of people looking at things like co-sharing spaces and the like. And the suggestion is that this is because of the need to cultivate resilience in real estate portfolios amidst our post-pandemic recovery. But I think that had us thinking in general about, like you said, Sharmila, the effects that the events of the world have had. We hear, of course, endless conversations about cryptocurrency, about its volatility. We hear also of how, I think if this is your first experience with a sort of general bloodbath, I guess, you know, you have people kind of worried or not exactly knowing how to sit with that, especially in comparison to people who have actually seen recessions, who have seen crashes. So yeah, that's the kind of stuff that we wanted to explore.
And I think it's precisely that sort of all-out uncertainty that's driving the sentiments that we're seeing, because the data also shows, I think, a real variety of approaches that people are taking. Ernst & Young, according to Ernst & Young, the uncertainty about future demand as well as policy constraints and market sentiments are holding back investments. However, according to Schroders, they found that more than 35% out of 23,000 investors worldwide were taking the opportunity to increase their exposure to higher risk investments. They also added that 80% of respondents had made some changes to their portfolio investments, while overall a majority of investors are optimistic about the pandemic's negative economic impact, in that they do think that it's going to see a bounce back. All of which to say, I, as someone who's fairly conservative in most of these accounts, I have certainly felt a little bit of like, oh, I need someone to explain this to me, because I'm not sure whether, as this data shows, is this the time to take risks or is this the time to be conservative?
And also, I mean, if we think about general trends, right, that I think is reflected in the way people are feeling. And it's why different surveys are going to show up different things, because it's just, there are a lot of different approaches being taken at the moment, and I think a fair amount of it is being driven in a very responsive way, which, again, if you're a more conservative person when it comes to investments, is going to feel a little bit alien.
I mean, we have to also, of course, mention the impact of the war, right, in Russia, and the fact that that has essentially triggered an umbrella effect that has really had impact across the world markets, the rising price of oil and so on. So I think there is a fair amount to unpack here in terms of what we need to be paying attention to and how to make these decisions. We will be joined very shortly by Julian Ng, who is CEO for Accrue, to help talk us through this. But we'd like to hear from you. Have all the recent economic ups and downs changed the way you think about investing? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
It's 5:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about investing within or against the current global economic landscape that's with all these push and pull and ups and downs, really the everything everywhere quality. We'd like to hear from you. Have all these recent economic ups and downs changed the way you think about investing? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to help us unpack this is Julian Ng, CEO for Accrue, an investment company. Julian, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, good to be back.
So how have events of the last couple of years affected investment trends or the kind of feelings or risk appetite people have when it comes to investing?
You know, this is a really interesting question, because who represents the trend, right? Is it the buyer or is it the seller? For example, if you had 1 million people selling Bitcoin, there will be like 1 million people buying it as well. So what is the trend that we are looking at here? So it's very confusing. I guess it can be it's really down to, I guess, what's best for the overall financial health of people. And the dominant trend, I would say, is that long-term assets in stocks and bonds, that's where most of the invested money resides. And just a word to say also that financial agents are always trying to make money out of you, get a cut out of what's trendy by promising you something that's too good to be true. So I think the basic question here, that the trend that you're referring to is not necessarily the right way to invest.
Ah, so on that note, we've spoken to you before a number of times at this point about how emotions and investments maybe aren't the best mix. Do you think that there has been a bit more vulnerability to knee-jerk reactions because of the volatility we've been seeing?
Yeah, this is very much a greed and fear thing. Should I buy now? Should I sell now? And that's one of the reasons why EPF is mandatory as well. I think that we got to invest like how we invest in property. There isn't that buy, sell, buy kind of reaction. So I don't know about knee-jerk reactions causing volatility. I think knee-jerk is just a fancy way that traders use to say, I can't really predict the future. So that's what they say is a knee-jerk reaction. But I feel that profitable investments are usually very volatile investment. So volatility is just performing as advertised.
So many of the recent rises and dips of the market are also tied to larger global or political events. How tuned in does a potential investor have to be to these happenings?
I don't think ordinary investors need to be tuned in at all. It's back to that property thing. When we buy a property, we don't need to sell on the news or buy more on the news. And we see that very smart investors like Warren Buffett and the late John Bogle, they largely invest passively. They buy and hold, and they only sell when they need the money, when they need to spend, when they need to use the money, which I guess in the case of Warren Buffett, that's like never.
I could not imagine. When you said it, I was like, I don't know when the last time would be that he would have that thought.
So if you look at him, you know, he is his buy and hold forever, almost.
So speaking of, right, this was just something, we're going to be talking about crypto in a little while. I was also thinking about how we, you know, the common advice is for people to put aside money as early as possible, to also kind of start trying to make passive income as soon as possible, as early as possible in their earning career. So all of which to say, I think for some investors, this might be their first encounter with market fluctuations, with these sort of big dips and rises. What advice would you have to offer on riding it out?
I would say that market crashes and fluctuations are your friend. If you're saving for something like your retirement, the current scenario is a cheap sale for you, so you have to buy now. Now, there was a research that was done, and they analyzed the hypothetical situation of this buyer who bought at all the peaks, i.e. just before the market crashes, right? And they found that over the long term, even this investor who bought just before the market crashed, which in our own understanding would mean that, hey, this guy would be losing a lot of money. But actually, the calculations show that he still made money over the long term, and his average returns were not that much lower from the guy who from average market returns. So you should invest for long term. Market crashes are your friend. If you're speculating, then you shouldn't be. You should see how much more money you can make from your career or your business so that you have more money to invest passively.
So if we look at the survey from Knight Frank Malaysia that sort of kicked off our train of thought for the show, they suggest that there's been more interest in alternative investments. How would you respond to that, particularly when we look at it from a real estate point of view?
I think such surveys are largely rigged because they force people to choose one of those options, right? So people will try to answer because they want to look smart. And you end up with a survey that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, that people are, hey, they, lo and behold, people are actually looking for these alternative investments. So again, I don't know how representative these investments are for proper investing from, like if a professional advisor advised you on a way to invest, whether these properties would be representative of those ideas.
Okay, now we're going to head into the second half of our show, which is really focused on this idea of alternative investments, right? So beyond real estate, do you think that more people have been looking or more attracted to maybe, you know, investments outside of the traditional options?
I would say that, I just want to say that firstly, real estate isn't the default option for ordinary folks because it's too expensive and you can't really diversify efficiently. You would need like 100 properties around the world for you to have proper diversification. And diversification is the key to successful investing, right? It's like not putting all your eggs in one basket. Having said that, I realized that in the past few years, we have seen a lot of these trends coming onto the market, things like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Bitcoin, and even, you know, very short-term trends like short squeezing. We saw that during the GameStop saga, right? This is actually not new. We have seen trends come and go in the past, but really, the dominant way and the proper way of investing, and I guess the easiest way to invest is arguably a portfolio of stocks and bonds.
And specifically when it comes to cryptocurrency or NFTs, how has the recent crash affected confidence in this space?
I guess it's making people realize that what goes up must come down. And I guess more and more people were speculating in it because they saw that other people were speculating in it as well. So it started to snowball. But when you look at it from the perspective of a professional investor, you will be looking at it from how it benefits your portfolio, how certain instruments can give the portfolio benefits while limiting the risk or spreading the risk, right? So, you know, with some of the other commodities like gold, and gold is said to be the new Bitcoin, right? Gold has crashed and have recovered from the crash before. So I think with crypto, I don't know about NFTs, but with crypto, it's a long road ahead. There is a lot of promises as far as its technology is concerned. So this is a very high risk and high return space.
You mentioned promise. I think there are a lot of promises, but there's also a lot of information and varieties of information and varieties of experts kind of out there talking about crypto, talking about NFT. What, in your view, what kind of specific knowledge do people need to be equipped with before they venture into this particular realm?
So honestly, I don't know. I would say that I don't know about the NFT space. I think crypto, as I said, it's beginning to establish what is called a networking effect. It's becoming a more credible investment, the recent crashes notwithstanding, because other professional investors are investing in it. And I think this I don't know thing is a good investing rule of thumb, right? One's dominant portfolio should be stocks and bonds and predominantly stocks. And today there are ready-made portfolios without having to study or equipping yourself with a lot of knowledge to invest in. But as far as NFTs are concerned, I don't know.
Well, okay, there's a lot of online rhetoric around cryptocurrency. And there's also a sort of push towards these options that happens in the online space. How does this shape the way people approach these investments?
I think that people are trying to make a quick buck, and that is very dangerous. You know, when you try to do that, you cannot expose your 100% of your money into such things, right? It's just gambling. We've seen from the GameStop saga last year, you know, with very noble intentions, they wanted to take over from Wall Street, but that didn't happen. Wall Street is still in control, and the diamond hands have probably become burnt hands now, right? So I think these are still pretty risky, pretty dangerous investments, and the trends are pretty dangerously applied to rules of thumb of investing. I don't think we should go there.
And when we talk about this, right, there's also a lot of marketing to try and draw people into investments, to say that this is the best option. I know the path. Come walk with me. What are some red flags to look out for?
I would say that if something is too good to be true, it probably is. If it takes too much of your time to study or understand, don't go there. If you have to quit your day job to buy into some gimmick, don't do it. If it veers away from tried and tested methods, then don't do it. And I would say that the most reliable way to invest right now, and that's tried and tested, is a combination of stocks and bonds.
Julian, what would you like to leave us with?
I think that one very underrated investment is your career. So you don't need to come up with financial capital for that, right? You don't need to pony up 10,000 ringgit for that or whatever. You just need to put in your sweat capital. So that is one very much overlooked investment, which can pay a lot of investment returns and dividends over the long term.
Julian, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Julian Ng, CEO for Accru, weighing in on the volatility of the current economic market and, you know, what we should be thinking of when investing. So let us know, have all the recent economic ups and downs changed the way you think about investing? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.